Accession number 25194, real 3.
And the Home Office supported, you say?
Yeah.
The Home Office supported that.
And the Home Office supported it. They must have written, because they never turned round and said, you're not a Sergeant Major or anything. They must have notified them. They must have, the Red Cross must have told them, and they must have known something about it. They must have notified them.
As you say,
they knew I was a driver. But to stop me working for them, I think, this is what I think they'd done. They notified the Red Cross to say that I was a Sergeant Major.
What sort of state were the workers in? Because you were looking after these boys, weren't you? Were they worked, you know, unreasonably hard?
No. They'd done hours of a night, out of the sugar. They used to make what they call sugar schnapps. They used to pinch some sugar, from the doings, and they used to make a sugar schnapps, and the boys used to have a drink of a night. It was 100% proof, it must have been.
So there were advantages.
Yeah, there were advantages for them, yes.
Thank you very much, Alf.
But
thank you.
That's that, yeah.
Thank you. Alf Stewart, Real 3. Your own history of the Holocaust, Alf, did you lose any of your family?
Yes. I lost a grandfather, a grandmother, two aunts, and an uncle. They got killed during the Holocaust.
Have you any idea where? You know whereabouts?
I got no idea what camp they were in or anything.
But these were the Polish relatives,
They're
were
the
they?
Polish relatives, yes. And my uncle, I knew quite well. He used to come before the war. He came over to England, and he was a very dapper fellow, very smart fellow that I remember. Very smart chap. He was the youngest of the family, and he had a business during the war, or before the war, he had a business in Belgium, and he had a manufacturing business of raincoats, and he had a very big retail shop as well. And during the war, he had a son. Now the son got taken, hidden during the war, and the son got the son was taken in by Catholics into a home and brought up very well in a Catholic monastery, and he was brought up very, very well. They hid him out the whole length of the war, and he came out and took over his father's business, what his father had before the war. But his father was killed during the I don't know if it was Auschwitz or wherever it was during the war. His father came to England, a very smart young man, and to be truthful, I think he fell in love with my sister. But he went back to Belgium, and then the war broke out and we didn't see him anymore. But my father's parents, who I was too young really to know anything about them at that time, I was completely too young to know anything about them, was definitely taken. My father used to tell me later in life, they were taken to the camps. He even didn't know what camp that they were sent to, because people here did not know what camp they were sent to. They were just sent to a camp and exterminated.
Did it have much effect on your father, was he?
Yes, my father was really, really very low in himself. My father brought one brother over here and a sister over here. Because my father, when my father was young, at the age of 18, they wanted him to join the programs out there, which was the programs, I don't know what they were, but they were something to do with out there. And he went to South Africa. And he went to South Africa when he was about 18, and he opened a little shop for the diamond mines in South Africa. It's something that you'd never forget, because my father was very quick in picking up languages. He spoke Afrikaans. He spoke Kaffirish. And he used to teach me Kaffirish and Afrikaans, although I'd never been to South Africa until I went during the war to Cape Town. He had a little tiny, like a small shop for the diamond mines those days. And I'm going back in the 1800s, Lord, I'm going back into the 1880s, 1870s when he was there. And he had a little shop there selling gents' suits. And he used to serve the suits to the Kaffirs when they came up from the mines. And they used to buy a suit off of him. At that time, a couple of rands bought a suit. I think they were either new suits or second-hand suits. I don't know what they were, but this is what he had there. One day, a Kaffir came up there and said, "I like that suit, Governor. How much?" So my father said, "So many rands at that time for the suit." He said, "I can't afford that." He says, "I haven't got that money." So my father said to him, "Well, when you got the money, come back and I'll keep the suit for you." He said, "No, I'll give you this." And this is what he gave him. This diamond. Uncut diamond. 5-stone diamond. My father didn't know what it was worth. He said, "All right, have the suit." He didn't know what it was worth. And when he got back to England, he had the diamond recut. And it was a 5-carat stone, 4.9-carat stone. It was my father had used to wear it in a claw setting. He had no idea. And those days it didn't cost a fortune. They were very cheap, even to buy them in England. They weren't dear, a few £100. You could buy a 5-carat stone for, or a couple of £100. But he had it in a claw setting. And when he died, in his will, he said, "I want Alf to have this stone." And I've had it ever since, and I never take it off my finger. And I had it reset. I had it reset into my own setting.
It's a wonderful history, isn't it? But going back to the Holocaust, you were saying when you heard about it that you were very shaken. And I suppose really...
And I was only a kid at the time.
Yes.
I was a youngster at the
time.
Oh, when I heard about the Holocaust,
of course, yes.
I was already a grown-up person. I was married then.
That's right. But, you know, you did it make you realise perhaps that, you know, how vulnerable you had been to be identified as Jewish and be interrogated by the Gestapo?
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. It was really marvellous. While I'm talking, I went to an 80th birthday party of someone who was also prisoner of war with me. And that was, he lives in Ilford. He lives in Ilford. His name is Smith. He was a POW. He said, Elf, he says, when I saw you, he says, in that camp, waiting to go to Naples, he said, I never thought you'd pull through. He said, I could see right through your leg. He said, when I came back, after a certain time, all my friends said to me, why don't you put in for a pension? You're silly. I said, well, what will I do now? I feel fit now. I'm a lot better than what I was. I said, all right, I get a few nightmares, which I still get nightmares.
What do you have your nightmares about?
About the march.
What happens in your nightmares? Do you relive it?
I relive, honestly and truthfully, I relive that march. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I never thought we'd ever pull through. I never thought we'd ever get home. It's just one of those things.
But you were very vulnerable as a Jewish person, weren't you, in
yes.
the army, and to be captured.
I was very lucky that this Sergeant Major gave me a tab. He gave me a band to put on my arm. And because I used to, he was so pleased with what I used to do with the entertainment side of the business, that I kept the boys amused. He gave me this to put on my arm. He said, now you'll never have to work for the Germans. He said, you won't have to do nothing for the Germans. He said, they can't make you work for them.
And the Home Office supported, you say?
Yeah.
The Home Office supported that.
And the Home Office supported it. They must have written, because they never turned round and said, you're not a Sergeant Major or anything. They must have notified them. The Red Cross must have told them, and they must have known something about it. They must have notified them.
As you say,
they knew I was a driver. But to stop me working for them, I think, this is what I think they'd done. They notified the Red Cross to say that I was a Sergeant Major.
What sort of state were the workers in? Because you were looking after these boys, weren't you? Where they worked, you know, unreasonably hard.
No.
But did they
no.
have?
They had. They done hours of a night, out of the sugar. They used to make what they call sugar schnapps. They used to pinch some sugar, from the doings, and they used to make a sugar schnapps, and the boys used to have a drink of a night. They used to, it was 100% proof, it must have been.
So there were advantages.
Yeah, there were advantages for them, yes.
Thank you very much, Elf.
But,
thank you.
That's that, yeah.
Thank you.